first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 115.
Wee!
Wee, there we go. What's that I hear? What noise is that? Why, it's a new podcaster.
It is. Who's the newest?
John the newest, John Day, then Jerome.
John's not really a proper podcaster, though, is he?
Jerome.
We haven't introduced you yet, you don't mean anything.
Know your place.
You're fuck all at the moment.
Yeah. So we have, of course, got Jim Staples, we've got Dan Silver, we've got myself, Michael Coxon, and joining us, we've got Andy Franks.
Absolute pleasure to join you, chap.
Andy, tell us.
See, that now means we've got a fan from each division.
We do indeed, because Andy, who do you support?
And proud supporter of the Mighty Bees, and what a week can we have?
Hang on, that's amazing.
Anyone who's
got someone from every division?
It works out quite nicely. We need a conference person, but we'll get there eventually.
Football league, anyone
who doesn't know, the Bees are Brentford, and we will be going on to their performance at the weekend shortly. But number 115, I thought it'd be quite apt to look up a number that's related to mental strikers. For obvious reasons, and the top goal scorer for Napoli of all time, Diego Maradona.
Sorry, for the obvious reasons.
The obvious reason being that today we are mourning the loss.
What's
that got
to do with 115?
Of Mario Balotelli.
It's a tenuous link.
I said what? What's he got to do with 115? I found a mental striker, Diego Maradona, top scorer for Napoli all time.
Scored 115 goals.
115 goals. There we go.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Very
it's tenuous. To be honest, what are we going to do? A shirt number every week?
No, you don't have to do a shirt number every week.
It's got us nicely on, maybe not quite as nicely as one of Dan Silver's segues.
Are we going to get a Balotelli book review now he's actually fucking left the Premier League?
He's going to have to do it in Italian now.
To people who don't know, 8 months ago, Dan was supposed to do us a book review on Mario Balotelli's pretend diary.
I
got the impression it was a really shit book.
It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Should have just said that after the first week. Just say, like, I'm going to do it, it's rubbish.
No, I read it though.
Why, if it was rubbish?
Well, because it commitment, wasn't it?
Yeah. Commitment? If you read it, you should have just said, right, I read it was shit. Not doing that again. Move on.
What was the highlight of the book?
The end. And he fucking put it down.
There we go. But,
it never really happened for Balotelli, did it?
No, he was.
I'm going to miss him.
I'm annoyed. I thought his departure from the Premier League would be spectacular. Kill an owl on the pitch like that. In Argentina or something like that. It would be something absolutely outrageous. It's just gone with a whimper.
The City fans love it. Noel Gallagher.
Noel Gallagher speaks for all City fans, but the City fans were starting to get a bit tired, I think. And Dan's holding his finger up.
What's wrong, mate?
Hang on.
Oh. Yeah, so Dan, why are you holding your finger up? What's that about? We didn't just stop recording for no reason. But anyway, yeah, Balotelli, I heard Rodney Marsh talk about him the other day. And one, talk about him wasting his talent by his off-the-pitch actions, but also likening him to Gazza and Besti. I don't think he can be really compared with Gascoigne and Besti.
Not that ilk.
But at the same time, who the fuck is Rodney Marsh to talk about people leading a dodgy lifestyle off the pitch when he was one of the biggest playboys around in the set?
That's probably why they got his comment, because he can't comment on it, because it's what he did. For me, how many times has Balotelli actually impressed you? Any time he really impressed
you? The Euros.
It was the Euros, yeah. When Man City did Man United at their place as well, he played well that game.
Don't really recall it, but yeah.
Apart from that, I haven't really looked at him and thought he's
cameoed for him. He scored one goal this season.
Never bossed a game like the likes of Drogba did and people like that. For their teams, like,
yeah.
I wouldn't.
He left his mark on Scott Parker, so.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be wanting too much if I was a Man City fan, because I just don't think he brings enough to the team.
No.
You're not going to get any consistency out of a player. What's the point in playing him?
Yeah, it is. Like I said, he was likened to best Gazza, but they perform week in, week out.
You'd want Gazza on best in your team. Comedy off the pitch, but I'm not sure I'd want Balotelli in my team. He might prove us wrong. He might go to Milan and get that consistency.
Yeah.
I don't think he will, personally.
There's talk of them getting Vieira instead, isn't there?
Yeah.
As a replacement.
An interesting replacement, is he's still got something to prove for anyone now, after a long injury.
Barcelona have said so much that he's not actually going to go in the winter. They haven't said he won't go. They've said that he won't go in this winter. They've said that before, and stuff's happened as well. So
we shall wait and see.
But with Aguero, Tevez,
Dzeko,
and John Guidetti.
Well, no, but I was going to say Aguero, Tevez, and Villa are all three very similar players.
Yeah.
Like, and Dzeko's the only, to a degree, but yeah, and Dzeko's the only. Sort
and
of
actually, Silva filled in the role that Villa was performing in the Spain squad for quite a while.
City don't need another striker. They don't really play. They don't play certainly with three out-and-out strikes on the pitch. They play with one or two plus wingers. They've got the likes of Scott Sinclair and Milner that can fill in the gaps.
Well, I was reading
also,
the
they've got John Guidetti coming through.
So the new technical director they've got there was saying, looking at a 4-3-3 formation. They're buying players to adapt to a 4-3-3 formation. Yeah. So,
but it remains to be seen. Anyway, weekend performances. Stand out, stand down. Andy Franks, as it's your first show, tell us a bit about Brentford, because I know they're going to be your standout performance.
Actually, you know what? They're not my standout performance. It was the best game I've ever been to at Griffin Park. The biggest crowd we've had in 30 years. We cleared £500,000 profit on the game itself, but we didn't win. We didn't see the game out. And
that was your chance as well, wasn't it? If you 2-1 up.
No, they were there for the taking on Saturday. Everything from the heaters not working in the away dressing room to
amazing.
The pitch, the
chairman appointed by the fans with a screwdriver looking coy in the corner.
The pitch was an absolute nightmare. We had our chance, we didn't take it. My stand-up performance is Luton, but Brentford were fantastic. We matched them in every area of the pitch. You had two Brazilian internationals, two England captains, internationals everywhere, and I really do think that we've missed our chance now. Well, Luton for me. Luton's amazing.
You stand out, can't not be Luton this week. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I can't look past it, because they won.
Because they've not beaten a sexy team, as it were. The likes of Oldham, the Sunday games got most of the headlines, didn't they, really? But even Leeds beating Spurs got more headlines than Luton, really. But it's absolutely fantastic. It's ridiculous.
Well, the fact is, the first time in 24 years, and
it's ever happened
when
in the Premier League team,
isn't it? Luton were in the top five when it last happened. When
it's the first time that a Premier
first
League
time in the Premier League era, since football began in 1992, it's the first time.
And I don't care whether people say they're resting players. Norwich are a Premier League team.
Yeah, they're still professional players playing at the highest level. When they play week in, week out,
and that'll be a tasty game in the next round. Luton at home.
Well, if I were Luton, I'd be a bit disappointed.
Yeah, home tie.
Home tie, great, but they could have had a money spinning game again. You would have wanted Arsenal or Chelsea if they get through.
But the only extra they'll get, they'll sell that out. Mill will take their full allocation, Luton will sell the rest out. So the only extra will come from the TV. TV's not that much in terms
There's a bit of added spikes. Have you ever seen the footage of the 1985 Kenilworth Road riot between. Well, what
and,
was.
And the ground hasn't changed a bit since then, either.
It was said to be Millwall fans. It was later found out the majority were Chelsea West Ham fans that had gone along with them for a fight and to try and bring the club down. But
there's nothing. None of the next round fixtures really excite me, though, is there?
But then, remember. When this round was drawn, none of the games
round didn't really excite when you first looked at it either. So look at the upsets.
Plus, it's looking like Man United, Arsenal, the teams that, if they progress and get to those games, it should be a really strong.
It's great though, because there's
a couple of little ones in the mix.
I think Everton as well. Everton, you know, they've been
a very good cup side in recent years.
If Everton have their first 11 playing. No one wants to play Everton. Yeah. If you look at the team sheet down the 11,
that's what they're concentrating on.
Yeah. No one wants to play Everton, and on their day they can beat anyone. And they've shown that against United.
Do we reckon Fellaini's out? Do we reckon he's off?
There's talk about them signing the bouncer.
Well, this is what I mean.
Although this morning.
It's in doubt because his medical, there's been questions about his knee, and they want to restructure the payments, which Twente don't want. So.
But if they're looking to bring in another, another beast in midfield, you've got to look
well,
at it.
Well, the worry is that the Russian transfer window is open till March. So they reckon that Zenit and Antti Makhachkala are going to be going after him.
And they got they won't be rushing that through either.
Hey.
Until March. See, Anelka has left China.
He has, yes.
Drogba.
That might not be happening because Shanghai Shenhua. They're not actually going to let him go. He's in breach of his contract for leaving.
Yeah, so they're saying that he's still their player.
Yeah, they're going to scupper it.
But he's also been photographed in a Galatasaray shirt.
I get the feeling that there'll be a brown paper bag involved somewhere in Orga.
What, a pile of shit? A flaming bag of shit?
Left on the doorstep of Galatasaray's ground.
That's out of order.
Ring the doorbell, it'll be out of order. But no, in terms of standout performances, there were five giant killers. We've spoken about Luton, we've spoken about Brentford sort of semi-giant killers, Leeds beating Tottenham, Oldham.
For me, semi-giant killing? They didn't kill a giant. How can I be semi-giant killing?
Oh, well, they've dazed him. It's a giant dazing. It's a giant...
I'll take that.
Yeah, we'll do that. So Brentford's giant dazing.
You've actually learned to describe better, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Seconds.
There you go. Dan, take notes. But Oldham, fantastic.
Well, because Liverpool actually played very well in the first half, especially.
And played quite strongly.
And Suarez and Gerrard and everyone, you know, they were all in the mix second half. Suarez started, but Gerrard came on. Oldham did brilliant.
They had a strong starting team, Liverpool. Yeah. They really did.
Have you seen a couple of years ago, Matt Smith was playing up front for one of the Manchester University teams with Jack Whitehall, the comedian.
No way.
Playing in the same team as him. The posh twer. Even though I don't think he actually went to university, but they were playing in the same team, apparently.
He can play football. Was it a really shit team?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with really shit team.
Yeah. Well, he's playing for Eldon now, so... Although, interestingly...
Oh, no, I'm not saying he's shit.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying the professional comedian that looks like a rake.
We'll have a look into it. Andy Frank, that's your first task. Find out how good Jack Whitehall is at football. But interestingly, the next day, because Eldon have been rotten in the league, haven't they?
Dickoff's hanging
by a thread. I think, had they not gone through...
Well, we beat Oldon 2-0 at their place a couple of weeks ago, and they were rubbish, absolutely rubbish. I didn't go to the game, but I know friends who did.
They were
very bad.
If you look at it,
we beat them easy.
Your league form's not going to be helped by a cup run like this. And they've got Everton at home in the next round as well, haven't they?
They have, which is great to have the next Merseyside club coming along. It's still a local-ish team. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. It's not going to help the league cause, but the only thing you can hope from that is the confidence, isn't it? The confidence, the team spirit that you pull through together from a result like that.
Yeah, whilst we're talking about Oldham's form. Oldham's favourite son, most renowned son,
Paul Scholes.
Still lives in Oldham.
Stand down performance of the week. I'm not surprised if he lives in Oldham.
But can you believe that? For those who don't know,
he left his car doors open.
He left the keys
in the ignition.
Went out to his car in Oldham, turned his car on, put the heaters on to get rid of the
de-icer.
The ice on the thing. Popped back in, came back out, and 2 minutes later.
Does he live? You think a football. He's probably got a bit of a drive. He probably lives in quite a quiet community.
He'd run after him and two foot the car from behind.
It was only a 30 grand car.
It was a car he got for free off the club from Chrysler, the sponsor.
Right.
Every United player a Chrysler. And the young players weren't allowed the sporty model. They had to have the dull model. But Paul Scholes also went for the dull family model.
Still 30k's worth of car,
yeah. I'm sure he didn't lose too much sleep over it.
That is a classic.
Well, one more giant killing that I know Jim is going to have as another standout front for the week. MK Dons. And Stuart isn't here.
It's not a giant killing because they're not a club. So let's just fucking move.
Well, they got a good result last night.
They lost last night, didn't they?
No, Harry. QPR.
No, MK Dons.
MK Dons, I think they did lose last night.
Yeah. So we can all be pleased about
Such
that.
Such a shame. They've dropped
off. QPR got a good result last night.
Yeah, they did. Did you see... which is just amazing. Clint Hill did an interview in the Evening Standard last night, and the headline was...
Was he advertising his joining company that he runs with Sean Derry?
No, but he was talking about Sean Derry. He basically said, me and Sean Derry are crap. We've got very limited ability, but we'll do a job.
Could we try hard?
Yeah.
They're joining us on the side. They're taking Sean Wright Phillips on us in the practice.
The headline was...
Guaranteed.
What he actually said was, we've got very little talent. but the headline was, "We've got no talent." You could just tell, and then when you actually read what he said was, "We've got very little talent in terms of sheer ability, but we make up for it and this. No headline, no talent," which I think is fantastic.
Brilliant.
QPR are going to be very busy over the next couple of days.
I was just saying, did you see old Harry's? You saw Harry's old three keeper technique.
Oh, on the bench last night.
Down to the bare bones.
Brilliant. I'm pretty sure he did it for Spurs as well.
He did. Had Cudicini
and Gomez on it. Yeah, I'm sure he did. I don't know why he does it, but.
Who is it that he was talking about, Odin Wingate, the other day, saying how, the news of the transfers leaked and West Brom got no.
Because he tweeted about it and stuff.
Yeah, he did a press conference 3 weeks ago saying, yeah, we're interested in Odin Wingate and we've made an inquiry. I mean, fucking hell!
Such a hypocrite. He's saying there's only one wants one of his players, he goes the other way.
But they've signed a Chinese lad this morning.
No one wants any QPR players.
South Korean, I think he is, mate.
South Korean, he was playing for a Chinese club, though, I think.
Yeah, I think he's South Korean.
Left back. Oh, yeah, because Park Ji-sung's worked out quite well for him, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Stripped of the captaincy, it's gone to Clint Hill. That's how bad it's got when you're Park Ji-sung. You've been stripped of the captaincy.
You've gone from United, reading the match reports.
You're giving it to someone called Clint, for fuck's sake.
Reading the match reports in the Mirror, I think his name has been changed to Park Ji-sung 3 because that is the rating he seems to get every week. And I said
it came on last night from about
I said
left,
start the season he would be terrible for them because he's not the right sort of player for that club, and I've been proved right yet again because I know everything. But they're also after Peter Crouch.
Can you answer me this question?
Go on.
Is Victor Moses alive?
Moses is alive and well, and he scored two goals for Nigeria yesterday.
Yeah, he scored the winner to put him through.
He's at the African Nations. Yeah. I didn't think he was getting in their team.
Yeah, he's at the African Nations.
He scored the winner to put him through the quarterfinals.
Although they finished second, and fair play to Burkina Faso.
Yeah, they've gone through. They got a draw against Zambia.
Zambia got
knocked out.
And Cape Verde went through as well.
Cape Verde also through, first ever tournament. Small island, only been in
smallest
for
nation.
About 40 years.
Has anyone watched 90 minutes of
Burnley? No,
because as we said last week, I'd rather watch paint dry at the moment. Yeah.
There have been so many draws and nil nils and one nils in there.
It's got Ivory Coast all over this year.
Where, but it had Ivory Coast all over the last two tournaments.
They're a stronger team this time round.
I'm not sure they are. They had Kolo Touré in their pomp 2 years ago. They've had better players in the past, the likes of Aboué and Faye and stuff.
It really isn't. It's not good.
I have flicks on and flicks off straight away.
Yeah. And another question, which you might only answer to, because you did quite well on that one.
Yeah.
You know the Vidra, the Watford guy?
Yeah.
20 goals or whatever he's got this season, 20 year old as well. Is he their player or is he Udinese's player?
I think he's Udinese.
He is, isn't he? Because he's been touted about a load of Premier League.
It's the Italian connection with Zola, isn't it?
Yeah. One would assume he's Udinese, like the rest of them. We spoke about it at the start of the season.
And I'm pretty sure I mentioned him as a little bit because he's just absolutely on fire. I know they lost last night, it was a grand result. Terrible night for Peterborough last night because Bristol City did Millwall 2-0 and Barnsley beat Millwall.
Barnsley beat Watford. It'd be a nightmare. Was it the other way around if they lost to Bristol City and Barnsley? I think Bristol City did Watford.
Bad night. Bad night all around.
It's making the promotion places slightly more interesting in the league, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's made everyone else behind them catch up. So.
Yeah, no, Vidra's pretty damn good. I saw him play over the Christmas period. They played away from home. Yeah. I can't remember who they played. I think it was Brighton, actually. Got a result down at Brighton. Just such a threat. Like, just an old-fashioned sort of centre-forward. Hustling, busted, and just... He gets half a chance, and he takes it. And he didn't have that many chances that game. And I think he scored once. One got an infection, but...
Yeah.
Great player. 20-year-old as well. Wow. Snap him up. I think Watford are looking to get him on a permanent deal. I'm sure they are.
Well, if they're pushing for promotion, they could be giving him Premier League football next season. So.
And he'll start. Because otherwise, he'll go somewhere to a bigger club, and he won't start playing. On a notice with Jack Butland turned down Chelsea today.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fair play to the lads.
By the way, you can see why Chelsea are for another keeper. Ross Turnbull was one of the worst keepers I've ever seen on Sunday.
Brad Jones.
Yeah.
What an absolute howler.
Dodgiest keeper I've seen this season. I watch League One football. Unbelievable.
Did anyone throw anything at him?
No, did you see the couple of
I know, that's what I'm bringing up. It was the
second half was
Tramier again.
Try him again, in which we got beaten. Bad result for us, but yeah.
20 man ball in a second. Have you seen this?
I think we mentioned it. Brilliant.
The second half got delayed because they were throwing snowballs at him. And he was proper kicking off, apparently.
Yeah. One of my mates was throwing the snowballs.
What's his name? absolutely. But then it turned a bit nasty after that.
It did. There was a bit of trouble outside as well. So.
I'll tell you, if we're going to talk stand down performances, has any club had a worse, say, about 6 weeks than Aston Villa?
Well, the last week has been. They dropped into the bottom three last night.
Gone out and they're out for 2 days.
To lower league teams as well.
But actually, the game against Newcastle is a bad one for them because Newcastle are on a similar sort of run.
Yeah. But they've had a bit of injection. They got two or three.
Five or six.
Two or three started last night.
The new lads played well. The double-barreled lad from France, whose name I can't.
He put the ball through for the goal, didn't he?
He did. And Debucci, even though he gave away a penalty, apparently had a good game.
Apparently, Darren Bent got hauled off at half time.
Bentek, he scored the penalty. But bad times, and Lambert looks in trouble.
I've got another standout.
Paul Lambert looks in trouble.
Yeah. Standout performance, and this is from a player as well, and it's from the Brentford Chelsea game. Marco Marin, German international, he played the first half in which Brentford outplayed the whole Chelsea midfield. Marco Marin, German international, touched the ball three times. He came off at half time. Juan Mata came on and single handedly turned the game around.
Can you just say his name again?
Juan.
Very, very good pronunciation.
Marin.
1-0 to Mr. France.
Three touches.
Sean might be leaving us, but it doesn't matter now. We've got Mr. Pronunciation Mark 2.
Well, we need it if he's Mr. Pronunciation, surely.
But Marco Marin has been, what a flop he's been since coming to Chelsea.
They signed him when he had an injury, so it's just not got involved in the team at all. He didn't want to play.
Talking of flops, the guy you've signed from Schalke.
Yeah.
Do you know how bad a footballer he actually is?
Lewis Holtby.
Yeah, he is awful. I've got one of my friends, he's the UK president of the Schalke fan club over here. They can't believe he's got a contract in football, let alone playing for Schalke and getting in the Germany team.
That's bizarre. Well, considering he's the under-21 captain.
And they let him go for 1 million. I know he signed a free contract. They didn't even renew his contract. They didn't offer him a new contract. That's how bad he is.
The stats back up, though. The stats back up. He's played 10 through balls that have led to goals, like the second most in the league this season. Like, apparently his direct passing is
It's just too direct. He just hoops it. They can't believe that he's got a contract.
I've read quite a lot about him, and I've not read anything like that at all.
Really?
I'd be really intrigued.
I've only heard good things about him. He comes with a pretty big reputation.
Mike, you know,
I've heard bits about him. I've heard Aaron Hunt is the better English born or English raised or whatever German player, but
apparently someone said he's like David Batty but with less pace. That's what someone put on one of the
I've read he's got pace. I'm intrigued. He's in the squad for tonight, so I'm intrigued to see where he is. But it doesn't help the fact we haven't got another fucking striker.
Yeah. Did you hear about how they're trying to get Defoe fit again? They're using
they've got Imogen Thomas on a rope and he's chasing after.
No, they've taken blood out of his pelvic area and then they put it back in.
Is that a nice way of saying his arse?
The plasma in the blood which is released helps to heal.
It's like them people who have the bloody horse percentage.
So it was because I mentioned it very quickly that he was given the weekend off against Leeds, which I thought, if that was true, was absolutely criminal not having a recognised striker.
He was injured.
What's
the striker that you're actually after?
Oh, there's a couple of them.
The Brazilian.
Demel.
I've heard he's absolutely awful. Honestly,
Who does he play for?
International.
I've got a few mates who are international fans. They say he's absolutely rushed. They can't believe he's even got near their team. A professional contract.
If you ain't a Swiss, and we haven't done a rewind, this is just
Holtby is a great player. Absolutely fantastic player. I have got a mate who's the president of the UK Schalke, blah, blah, blah. And Holtby's a great player. Good that you've got him in when you have as well.
I don't know what to believe anymore. anymore.
No, he's a good player. Is it away at Norwich? Away at Norwich tonight?
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't think he'll start. I don't think he'll throw him straight in. Yeah, but he's been playing games, so there's no reason not to be. But he could well be a really big player.
I've heard he's like a German
you
David.
You genuinely
Batty.
Had me for a bit there.
I know I did. When I said David Batty without pace, that's when it should have clicked on.
I've heard he's like a German David Batty, but with more pace. So, you know, let's see how he does.
But then QPR will bring some people in, we know that.
Crouch is an interesting one, because Redknapp seems to get the best out of him. He got a lot out of him at Portsmouth, and, you know, he
did alright, I suppose.
That'd be interesting. We know the TV deal this year, you'll get more for finishing bottom of the league next season than you do if you won it this season, what have you. I'm thinking, will someone like clubs that traditionally don't spend a lot of money, like Wigan and Fulham, I was expecting that they might splash out a little bit, and then the clubs that are down there in trouble, because it's actually worth it. Like a QPR fan said to me the other day, like, if you're ever going to spend to try and get out of it, this is the season with what's actually at stake. And you look at it, it hasn't worked for QPR. It didn't work for QPR last season. I don't think it's going to work for QPR this season as well.
It did work for QPR last season. They survived.
Loic Remy.
But I'm talking
Loic Remy
Loic Remy, if he starts scoring goals, could well be their saviour. Because he comes with a decent rep.
Yeah, you're right. There's less than, just over 24 hours left for the window.
We were calling this Wednesday lunchtime. Yeah. It closes
Friday night.
Tomorrow night.
I'll tell you one club who are splashing out, and that is Bursaspor of Turkey, who've signed Anton Ferdinand.
Yeah, on loan.
And are going to sign Colin Kazim Richards. But they want.
Where's Kazim Richards at the moment?
He's been on loan at Blackburn from Galatasaray. But the one that gets me, the one is that our beloved Aziz Behic of Melbourne Heart has gone there.
Has he?
Australian international, made his first cap a few months ago, left a big hole at left back for.
Melbourne Heart.
And he's not the only person to have left Heart this week, is he?
No, it was sad news for Vince Grella, wasn't it? He made
Vince about, Grella, didn't he sign in the summer?
Yeah, but he's signed more recently than that.
So left
to be honest, their summers are winter, not winter's their summer. So.
But he managed to make all of about a 13 minute appearance for Heart, and then tore his calf, and he's now decided to retire from professional football. Yeah. So it hasn't been the greatest for him. Yeah. So
all the best to Vincenzo for that.
Talking about retired footballers, Jimmy Bullard was on Sky Sports News last night.
I heard about that.
And you know what? They had a great, great highlights reel of him. He's missed in football, isn't he?
I love Jimmy Bullard.
And he was a talent as well.
Yeah, all right, he could play a bit of football.
In the England squad.
Yeah, he could play a bit of football, but he's just such a joker, isn't he?
He knew what he was talking about last night, though. He wasn't out of place on Sky Sports.
Oh, I'd love to get him as a pundit. I like that. Yeah. Two little things for me, because I've got to go soon. Has Stuart been on the show last couple of weeks?
No.
Did he mention that
he's on the show today, have you not heard him?
Yeah, there he is.
Oh,
we went to an under-21 development game. You know the Premier League under-21, where they can play three overs? Crystal Palace were playing QPR.
It's supposed to be a decent standard, isn't it?
Yeah, really good standard. And they put it on, it was when the snow was there a couple of weeks ago, so they put it on at near the O2. There's a football academy there. So we went across and had a watch. And Stuart spent about 10 minutes taking the piss out of Southend manager Paul Sturrock. He didn't know it was Paul Sturrock. This guy just chipped in. He looked like a tramp. Stuart started taking the piss out of him. I was like, he turned around and was like, that's Paul Sturrock. You know, don't know who that is. Southend manager. And then Neil Harris and Fred Eastwood held the door open for him as well.
Oh, bloody hell.
He didn't say thank you.
I've got an image of the two of them parting and opening one door each so he can just walk.
And we went for it and I was like, he didn't say thanks. He was like, nah. I was like, do you know who that was? He was like, no. One was Neil Harris and he was like, the ball guy. When he said ball guy, he meant the guy that survived bravely testicular cancer. Yes, the ball guy. And he went, who's the other one? I went, Fred Eastwood. He went, the pikey. Yes, the pikey.
He has a lovely way with words, doesn't he?
Fred Eastwood did look like a pikey.
The views of Stuart Hoare are not necessarily those held by the football podcast.
And the other, thing, and I don't know if you read the article where the Ukrainian or the Russian that's got a small shareholding in Arsenal, what's his name?
Usmanov.
He's the Uzbeki.
He's like the billionaire.
Yeah.
He came out and said that Thierry Henry has been trying to get him to buy Racing Club.
I read this,
So my question to you three guys is, and I thought about this, because basically they were making out that if he did buy him, he would basically, he's already said he would just do an Abramovich. He would just pump, he'll do like a shake at Man City or Abramovich. They would just become a club where money's no object, like PSG. If you're an Arsenal fan, would you rather, and apparently he's a massive twat as well, and a far-right and what have you, like, he's not a nice character. That's just the opinion.
Well, because these billionaire owners normally are so lovely.
Oh, but I mean, like Abramovich doesn't seem a bad character in terms of his PR. Obviously, there's stuff going on and there's reasons behind he bought Chelsea. But apart from that, he's got some extreme views, this guy. That's just me talking to Arsenal fans. If you were an Arsenal fan, would you rather they carry on as they are, Wenger spends a bit more of the 40 million he's got to spend, and they continue this tradition? And Al Fayed, Fulham are in the black. Al Fayed came out and said, "We are standing by our traditions," which I quite like.
Yeah.
Would you, as an Arsenal fan, I think it would taint it a bit if they suddenly became the Man City, the new Man City, and just threw loads of money and started winning.
If Arsenal could become the new Chelsea or Man City in terms of spending power, they'd have to get a new manager, because I don't see Wenger.
But I know it's not what I'm asking.
Wenger behaving like that.
Let's not get into the debate. As an Arsenal fan, which would you prefer? Carry on down the route they're doing now.
I say that football fans have got a short memory, and at first they might be, "Oh, we don't want this, we don't want to be like the Man City's or the Chelsea's." When they get a couple of players in on the 80 million mark or the 50 million mark and they start winning stuff,
if you ask the Man City fan now, they love what they do. What I'm asking, as an Arsenal fan, if you're an Arsenal syndicate now, and I know three or four Arsenal syndicates, so I've said it, so if you're an Arsenal syndicate,
they're delusional
anyway.
Thing is, I would say I would love to see Arsenal become more like a Man United, not necessarily in the ownership, but that they spend money but also cultivate young players. I prefer it. But given that I sit next to an Arsenal seated ticket holder at work, we've got a few others in the office, they'd all love it. They'd have it any day. They all say they want.
Well, let's not say all, because I've spoken to
what I'm saying is all the Arsenal fans I work with and know and speak to. All
the Arsenal fan that I asked this question to about 20 minutes before we came down the pub said that he'd like Stan Kroenke and your Uzbekistan to both die in a plane crash, and for the Uzbeki to have left a load of money to the fans than to take over the board.
Oh, that would work out well, wouldn't it?
Not exactly the question I asked.
And they're going to appoint Roy Race as their next manager, aren't they, as well?
Why not?
Bloody hell, dear.
Why not?
Any more stories, Dan? You've got a ream of them, it looks like.
I've got a few. I've got to give credit to Natter Football, which I think is absolutely fantastic. They put a photo up that said, "Meet FC Bakake." Right? And the reason that FC Bakake are a little bit special and a little bit different from most other football teams is because of their shirt sponsor. Their shirt sponsor is Uges, the porn site.
Fair enough. Whereabouts are they based? Which country?
English. I couldn't find them. I think
wear a white kit?
No, they don't.
Oh.
But I just love the fact that
love to see them if they won the league spraying champagne at each other, all over each other's faces at the end of the season.
Bit too far.
Well,
a little bit too much.
Wearing leather and being slightly pregnant. Sorry, that's just me.
Oh, that's disgusting. I saw another really weird one as well, actually. Anyone see Fabio Barini Twitter? So Fabio Barini, obviously, he's not doing too well for Liverpool at the moment.
He's not playing, is he? He's injured, quite, no?
No, he's made his comeback.
And he's been still
he
shot.
Came off the bench against United.
Yeah, and missed an absolute sitter.
Well, yeah, we were all certain he was going to score because he's crap, but he didn't.
It was awful. He tweeted a message saying, "Happy birthday, my little sister. You are the best. I love you." Which was fair enough. But then he then tweeted a picture of the presents that he got her, which was, and one of them was some Victoria's Secret underwear.
To his sister?
Bit weird.
Whoa.
Bit weird.
You'd keep that off Twitter, wouldn't
you? Would, wouldn't you? Yeah. Bit odd. Well,
you'd not do it, Andy. It's almost not you just keep it off Twitter. It's just not
so much. Why would you buy your sister sexy underwear?
It's almost as awkward as the Christmas I gave me Nana Dildo. Oh, horrible. She'd had a few babies, so it didn't matter.
Again,
we'd all had a baby.
Not nice. Yeah, not nice. Babies. We've got a bit of a bizarre story, actually, my last one. Max Barrios.
Yeah. Right?
This has been in the news today in The Guardian. He was denounced, right, as a 25-year-old Ecuadorian sent home from the South American Under 20 Championship, where he played for Peru. He's basically, and he could be sent to prison for 7 to 10 years if it gets proven. So, yeah, he's just.
Seth Blatter's really cracking down, isn't he?
Unbelievable. Some 25-year-old Ecuadorian is pretending to be a 19-year-old Peruvian.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre.
We'll see how that develops. Before we go on to our beloved Melbourne Heart, a quick update from the worst team in English football, Woodford United. They played Slough Town away on Saturday.
Did they win?
They lost 4-1.
They lost.
This weekend, they're playing at home to Northwood. I was going to go there, but then I just realised I'm near Northwood. I'm not near Woodford United. But they are playing in Uxbridge in a few weeks, and I will go and we'll have a feedback there. Melbourne Art, what are you up to?
Well, I'm afraid it's bad news this week. Again, and to be honest, I was following it again on Twitter in the morning, and I think that Football Australia, the website, pretty much sums it up perfectly, which is really quite upsetting. Wanderers show heart what the word means.
I like that.
It's not as a Heart fan.
But as a fan of the English language.
And I can tell you why. It is because Western Sydney played Heart last weekend, and Western Sydney had a man sent off after about 10 minutes and went on to win the game 1-0, and it could have been more.
It
thinks of Heart last year. Heart had that fighting spirit. And you know, they're still not out there. They're still in the mix. They're still up there for a playoff place, but it was very disappointing to see. To play 80 minutes against 10 men and lose 1-0 is not really good enough, to be honest, Heart. And we're still behind them, we're still battling. Sean Miller had a turn around to me this morning. I need to spat it, to be honest. He said, I'm changing my allegiance to Western Sydney.
Bastard.
He then said he was only a joke and he was lying, but I'm still not happy with him.
Right, well,
it's not the reason he's not here.
You can't talk about changing.
You can't.
We'll
have
words halfway through a season.
Disgusting.
We're going to have words with Sean Miller next week. But one thing to note, Saturday, it's a big game, isn't it? Melbourne Derby.
It is.
So if you're up Saturday morning, as I will be, normally I'm in Sainsbury's at about 7:30 on a Saturday morning.
I'll be out before my game.
I'll be watching it. So if you can't, get yourself on the internet, find it on a perfectly legal website, watch it, it'll all be fine.
I'd like to make a plea to all Premiership football clubs.
Go on.
Before the end of the window closes, someone has got to sign Ricky Van Wolfsburg.
Yeah.
Purely for every commentator and every newspaper in England. It would be absolutely brilliant to see the headlines that they could all dream up. That would be fantastic.
There's another player who, something like Razim or Razimzim Rat or Razim Rat or something like.
Romanian lad.
Not brother of Roland, but that's one of the Premier League teams trying him. Basically, can anyone sign either Ricky Van Wolfswinkel or someone else with a ridiculous name?
Newcastle, Norwich, and Reading are all apparently interested, and he's a striker, made of headlines.
He's a good player. United and Liverpool. Not long ago.
Plays at Lisbon at the moment.
So, and they're in financial trouble. Premier League clubs. I know you're all listening. Our mate Sam Allardyce will be listening. Get on the blower. Right. I think that sums up for about the week. So, email us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/footballpodcast. Complaints too.
Are we changing it to @JimStaples?
I tell you what, when he's not here, @JimStaples. Yeah. Visit www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. Andy Frank, don't know if you're on Twitter, but we'll have to get you set up so you can interact with our lovely fan base. That's us for the week. Happy shopping in the transfer window.
Thank you very much.